morning, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this meeting of Jefferson County Commissioners Court, it's August 4th, 2020. 10:30 AM. Call this meeting to order, begin our meeting as always with an invocation led by Commissioner Alford, followed by the pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Hall.
If you have a mind, please bow your heads. Lord, we come before you one more time, asking that you give your divine wisdom to each and every member of this court, but not just this court, every elected official in Jefferson County. We ask that you put your loving arms around the family members that have loved ones away fighting for our democracy. We ask that you give this whole country strength to make its way through this pandemic. And we ask without a doubt, we ask that you know that we know that you're in charge. This we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Please join me in pledging our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll begin our agenda today with, as of the first thing, item A, consider approved specification for invitation to bid for current contract for trash and biomedical waste container services for Jefferson County. Item B, consider approved execution seeking file amendment number one for food services consulting and management services for Jefferson County Correctional Facility Defending Services Group. This amendment will allow the consumer price index increase per term of contract in accordance with the United States Bureau of Labor shown on attachment A. Item C, consider approved execution seeking file amendment number one for term contract employee for Jefferson County Universal Operations LLC. Will add four additional properties for additional service costs of $1,995 for the remainder of the current contract year, for a total of $21,240. Item D is consider approved a reward execute receiving file contract for engineering services for community development block grant program Phase 6 to LJA Engineering, Inc. in the amount of $40,250. The funding comes through the Texas Department of Agriculture Community Development Block Grant Program. Item E is consider approved execute receiving file of job order contract with CTEC Facilities and Maintenance for removal and replacement of a fire hydrant at the Jack Brooks Regional Airport in the amount of $10,970 in accordance with Choice Partners Job Tech's contract. Funding for this project will be through the current year airport budget and 50% TxDOT Airport grant funds. Item F is to request approval to release retainage to NNT Construction, Inc. for Ford Field concession standard in the amount of $28,500, payment application number 10. Do I have a motion on those items under purchase?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion?
Judge, I'd just like to ask Steve if this people that have affected the concession stand, I know it's not very common, just to ensure that all the punch list items have been corrected and in full use and satisfactory to our construction stand.
Yes, sir. Our people have been out there, but also on the issue we've hired to do the inspection and the oversight for us has been out there, and he has signed off on all the everything being brought up to the specs the way we want.
And you have them in your possessions at here at Jefferson County?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Airport, I've made a receipt file and execute ground land lease agreement between Jefferson County and Mid County Plaza LLC for approximately 8.2 acres of property located at the Jack Brooks Regional Airport. The motion on that item number. Moved by Senator Weaver, seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion?
Yes, Judge, I'd like to ask Alex if he could facilitate a meeting for Mr. LaRue to come back at a later date to update the court on the frontage project progress and how that's coming.
Let's not hope whenever the court wants to get going or before.
Set up a workshop or something like that. Just come out and give it a court an update.
Sure.
That's good. All right. Any other discussion?
Judge, I'll recuse myself again.
Okay. Holmes is recusing himself.
All right.
Remainder of the commissioners, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Auditor, item A, consider and approve budget transfer for Oak Ridge Precinct 4 for additional cost for repairs and maintenance. Item B is consider and approve resolution authorizing county judge to enter into agreement with TechDOT for county transportation infrastructure fund grant program. Item C is consider and approve electronic disbursement for $1,847.34 to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for August insurance reimbursement. Item D is consider and authorize county judge to execute Texas Traffic Safety Program grant agreement between Jefferson County, Texas and the state of Texas for the STEP comprehensive program for the period October 1st, 2020 through September 30th, 2021. Item E is consider and approve electronic disbursement for $566,428.79 to LaSalle for revenue received from entities for inmate housing. Item F is regular county bills, check numbers 473682 through 473892 for the period ending 7/28/20. And check numbers 473893 through 474059 for the period ending today. Via addendum, item G is consider and approve revised public defender contract agreement for Criminal District Court, 252nd District Court, and Drug Impact District Court. Item H is consider and approve the termination of public defender contract agreement for the 252nd District Court, Thomas William Kelly, effective June 30th, 2020. Item I is to consider and approve public defender contract agreement for 252nd District Court, Charles Rohoff, to be effective on August 1st, 2020. Motion on those items under County Auditor.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion?
Yes, Judge, a question, Steve can answer. This County Transportation Infrastructure Fund Grant, is that the concrete, we talked about like concrete roads and stuff like that? I'd sent you some information on Walker Lane.
Yes, sir.
Would that be eligible for this type of program?
It is. Two of the precincts have submitted road repair projects, and then we submitted a blanket project for concrete, full depth concrete repair, and that's what will be part of this. And after your action today, we will have, they'll approve the resolution. We'll sign, enter into an agreement with TxDOT. That's the next step. Then we'll have an opportunity to modify our list of projects, but I don't think there'll be any need to. What we've sent in is exactly what we want, and we receive the money, enough money to cover all of our projects. We have to send in a few certification forms after that, make sure everything's signed and above board, and then they'll give us a release to begin work, and that's when we'll actually have access to the funding on a reimbursement basis.
So, for example, on the Walker Lane project that I sent you, y'all would come out, make sure it's eligible, and then y'all would have the specs for that, and then get submitted to the program, or how does that work?
Yes, sir. We would do a set of plans for that one, since we don't have the forces to do it in-house. And it'd be very similar to the plan we did several years ago when we had the first round of this money out of Forest Central and
okay.
Stuff like that.
Thank you.
And on the project submitted, going to be done by County Road and Bridge crews or by contract?
Two of the precincts submitted projects that they will do themselves, and we'll just purchase, we use this money to purchase the materials.
Okay. My project is going to be contracted because it's well beyond the scope of what we can do.
Judge, question. And Patrick, this one has stayed on my mind because of that reimbursement we have to do. We are following by the federal government specs of what we need to do in the acquisitions now, correct?
Yes.
We don't have any problems.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Under County Commissioners, item A, consider possibly approving authorized county judge to extend the declaration of local disaster dated 3/13/2020 pursuant to section 418.108B of the Texas Government Code. Item B is consider possibly approving authorized county judge to execute receipt and file property tax abatement agreement between Jefferson County and Emerald Biofuels pursuant to section 312.401 of the Texas Tax Code. Item C is consider possibly approving order regarding the establishment of the project Fairway Reinvestment Zone pursuant to section 312.401 tax code. Item D, which we'll open right now, is conduct a public hearing to receive informational comments regarding the establishment of the project Fairway Reinvestment Zone pursuant to section 312.401 of the Texas tax code. So we'll go ahead and open up that public hearing right now. So if anyone wishes to make a comment, either those who are present or those who are online, who will need to press star 6 to make any comments, please make your comments now. Hearing none, we'll close this hearing with respect to project Fairway Reinvestment Zone. Item E is to consider possible approval and authorize the county judge to execute receipt and file the property tax abatement agreement between Jefferson County and SUSWTS USA Inc. for project CLEAR pursuant to section 312.401 of the Texas tax code. Item F is to consider possibly approve an order levying taxes for Port of Beaumont Navigation District of Jefferson County, Texas General Obligation Bond Series 2020. And Mr. Whitson, I'll invite you up after we've got a motion and second to speak to that issue. I still got a couple more. Item G is to consider possibly appoint members to Jefferson County Housing Finance Corporation Board of Directors, which would be the present directors being reappointed. Item H is to consider and possibly approve a resolution for civil rights for Hurricane Harvey disaster recovery grant funding for infrastructure and acquisition buyout grants from the Texas General Land Office, which reaffirms the county citizen participation plan, our section 3 policy, excessive force policy, section 504 policy, and grievance procedures and fair housing policy. Item I is consider and possibly approve Terry Aaron convert of human resources, please designate civil rights officer. Hurricane Harvey disaster recovery grant funding through infrastructure and acquisition buyout grant from the Texas General Land Office. Do I have a motion on both items under County Commission?
So
moved. Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Now discussion.
Judge, I didn't second yet. I was going to ask a question. I'll second for discussion. So do we need to have on item G, don't we have to have some names in there? Because we have some names.
Yeah, the reappointment of the current.
Reappointment of the current, okay, as it states. Yeah. You're the president as on the reappointment.
I'm your appointment.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure we
judge. Mine's not a reappointment.
Submitted mine. Yeah, mine's is a new name.
Oh,
Lord. You shouldn't ask me.
Mine's Ronnie Anderson.
Right.
And Eddie's is Larry Bowlby.
No.
Vernon Pierce.
For the
unexpired
term.
Oh, okay. Who is mine, Ms. Long?
Juana Jones.
Ms. Jones.
Okay. Mine is Green Frank. Green Frank.
Very good.
All right.
Okay. Any other discussion? Mm-hmm. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Treasurer, item A is receive and file the investment schedule for June 2020, including the year-to-date total earnings on county funds. Have a motion on that item.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner
Second. Sandow,
seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yes. Have it.
Are you looking for the treasurer?
Yeah.
Be serious.
I
can't see it with that mask.
I didn't have the. So what's the weighted average yield now? Mr. Goodson. say on the record that the county didn't have any obligations on those bonds, but we know we don't, so. Item A is to execute, receive, and file overweight vehicle permit to Enterprise TE Product Pipeline Company LLC for renewal and to move heavy haul equipment material for pipeline construction around Hebert Road, Canal Road, and Hogwood Road. Mr. Goodson, could I just get you on these port bonds, the county will have no obligation on those bonds, correct?
Correct, Judge, for the members of the court and the audience. In 2018, the port went to the voters, I'm sorry, 2017, with the voters for an $85 million capital improvement program, which included Dobbs Force, grain elevator, and a number of other capital improvements. That passed, and then in the summer of 2018, again with the benefit of the action of this court, the court issued the first delivery of those bonds in the amount of $50 million, and is moving forward, as you've seen with a number of capital projects. They are now moving forward, and will close hopefully in 2 weeks from today on August 18th with the delivery of the remaining $35 million worth of those bonds. Those are tax bonds to be paid by an ad valorem tax pledge and are not based on the full faith and credit of the court, this county, the state of Texas, or anyone else. It is based upon the tax pledge that was allowed by the voters to the Port of Beaumont. And of course, it's a debt service tax, so it's not subject to rollback, and it'll be set. And actually, as Mr. Fisher wanted me to remind the court, is that in anticipation of the full amount of this being issued, the tax rate for the port was adjusted in 2018, and with the payoff of some existing bonds that were refunded, the port does not anticipate a significant change at all in its tax rate based upon the current ad valorem tax valuations that we recently received through the county. So he did want me to extend his thanks, and as you know, we just recently changed Port Commission officers. Mr. Bruce Hart is president, Georgie Gilry is vice president, Pat Anderson is the secretary, and they too asked me to extend my thanks to you all for this action, and we will look forward to reporting back to you all in 2 weeks on the closing of the sale of the
Mr. Goodson, one last thing. I want you to make sure you bring over to them. We're in the middle of tough times, and I'm an advocate for local supplies, local labor, minorities, participation. So please hope and pray that they'll consider those things because of real tough times our area is in.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Goodson.
Thank you.
Back under engineering, item A is to execute, receive, and file overweight vehicle permit to Enterprise TE Product Pipeline Company LLC for renewal and to move heavy haul equipment and material for pipeline construction routed through Hebert Road, Knopf Road, and Hogwood Road. That project located in precincts 2 and 3. Item B is to execute, receive, and file overweight vehicle permit to Enterprise TE Product Pipeline Company LLC for renewal. Heavy haul equipment material for pipeline construction rounded on West Club Road, East Club Road, Boyd Road, Dalton Road, Bullock Road, Winter Road, Mighty Den Drive, LaBelle Road, Steinhagen Road, Humble Camp Road, Lotta Road, Hildebrand Road, and Hebert Road. And that project is located in precincts 2, 3, and 4. Item C is to execute, receive, and file a pipeline permit to Enterprise TE Product Pipeline Company LLC for renewal and to bore a 16-inch ethane pipeline across Knopf Road in Jefferson County. That's located in Precinct 3. Item D is to execute, receive, and file a pipeline permit to Enterprise TE Product Pipeline Company LLC. For renewal and for a 30-inch ethane pipeline across 14 Jefferson County roads located in Project Precincts 2 and 4. Item E is considering possible approval of minor plat tracts 1A and 1B being 2.555 acres of land, replat of all tracts 1A and B, Nicholson Place in Jefferson County, Texas, property located off Dugat Road and Blanco Road, a private road in Precinct 2. Has met the Jefferson County planning requirement. Item F is considering possibly approved variance request. We'll take that one separately. Okay, item A through E, do I have a motion?
Move, Mr. Long.
Moved by Commissioner Wiggins, second by Commissioner Hall, any discussion?
Judge, I'd like to ask if Steve comes to invite him. I'd like to ask and request that engineering, since we're dealing with so many county roads with this major pipeline project, that through y'all's permitting office, that we can monitor these roads and assist the precincts and kind of keep an eye on the roads so that if we have to come back on the bond, you know, we will have some eyes that have been monitoring that. And I know in the precincts, we usually go out and take pictures before and after the project. Just ask for y'all's assistance on that.
Would you glad to do that?
Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye. Item A through E.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. F is to consider and possibly approve the variance request submitted by Shane, the open center finish floor elevation of home located at 10035 Jason Court. Have a motion on that item.
Move.
Moved by Commissioner Weaver. I'll second it. But Mr. Stafford, I saw your email on this item.
Yes, sir.
And I read it a couple of times, but I'm still not catching the gist of what you were trying to convey to the court.
Okay. So on this this property, we'll deal with this one specifically first, then the one that was next door to it. On this property, before the house was built, a permit was issued. It stated that the base flood elevation was 22 feet above sea level, and that the finished floor of the house needed to be 1 foot above that, our requirement to be 23 feet above sea level. From my understanding, the surveyor that was hired went out and set a mark for the forms at 23 feet, and the house was built. The surveyor came back out afterwards and shot the concrete. It's at 22.8 feet, so it was 2/10 lower, approximately 2.5 inches lower than it was supposed to be. And the only reason anybody is given was, well, maybe somebody bumped the reference mark during construction, something happened, nobody knows what, but the house is lower than what our requirement is. It's not below the base flood elevation, which is good, but it does not meet our freeboard requirement. So Mr. Neal is requesting a variance to that, the complete freeboard requirement that we have, so that he can proceed to finish up his house, because the way our rules are written, if he hasn't built it according to our standards, then we don't release energy to connect the permanent power to the house. He's still working off a temporary pole.
Okay, so here's my question. I'm very sad for the homeowner, but I did also get a email at the end of last week saying that FEMA and FIP were going to be coming in to do an audit.
Yes, sir.
Is this going to cause us any problems in an audit of our enforcement of our floodplain orders?
I don't believe it will, as long as I had attached a copy of our variance procedures, and as long as it falls within the variance, and I think what we're looking at is perhaps item 5 under our conditions for variances, which says a variance to be issued upon a showing of good and sufficient cause. I guess the cause is that it was an accident that caused that marker to be moved and the house to be built too low. The determination that failure to grant the variance would result in an exceptional hardship to the applicant. Obviously, to raise the house 2/10 would be an inordinate amount of money for a small gain. And then it says a determination that the granting of the variance would not result in increased flood heights or additional threats to public safety and things like that. And it would not.
So as long as we're following our rule, we should run into it.
What precinct is this?
It's precinct 4. One last question. Does it bring this court any liability?
I don't think so, but I don't know on the legal end of things. I can't speak to that.
It's a discretionary function. So it's not. We wouldn't have any liability.
Yeah, I can't see, you know, having that's enough hardship for the homeowner anyway, just to have to bring that house up 2 inches.
Right.
And you do that.
I would also like to bring to you a fix for this in the future, because we do require an elevation certificate when the house is complete. An elevation certificate don't
parts to it. One, some counties require all three parts, we only require the fine. The second part to it is to say that you have to have somebody take a shot on the forms of the house before the concrete's poured. Now, that would have caught this issue.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Bring it to us as an amendment to the policy.
I will do that, and I think that will shut the door on this for all future conditions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under human resources, we have a number of items. Item A is consider possibly approved granting extended leave without pay for up to 90 days for Trubucilla and Jail, an employee of the Sheriff's Department. Item B is consider possibly approved granting extended leave without pay for up to 90 days for Sheena Barker, an employee of the Sheriff's Department. Item C is consider possibly approved granting extended leave without pay for up to 90 days for Marky Evia Cooper, an employee of the Sheriff's Department. Item B is consider possibly approved granting extended leave without pay for up to 90 days for Matthew Munsell, employee of the Sheriff's Department. Do I have a motion on those items under human resources?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Judge, I'd just like to ask, I don't know if emergency management would verify this, but I'm hearing that we're having several people repeat positive testing. I'd like to know the percentage of people, county employees, that I don't know if you would know that, Mike, or whoever. You don't have to answer today because I think it's going to take some research. But I think it's impacting our precincts and our operation for us, county.
I'll get with Leslie, who's doing the employee testing, and see if that's the case. That's the first I've heard of it. I'm not saying it's out of the question, because that can, depending on what test they get, can lead to different results and
right.
The accuracy of each test. And
that's exactly what's happening. People having to stay out longer.
That is impacting us.
However, the employee
of my office who tested positive went to retest and tested positive again yesterday and had absolutely no symptoms.
Right. So.
The most accurate one.
Yeah, I understand that, but we're going to have to address it as a court because it's impacting departments. I think Ms. G and myself also, and I'm requiring that they bring
the test
when they return to work.
Right.
So it's going to impact. I don't know who carried with it.
My mom had it when this first started, and so when they get it and you get tested positive, it's supposed to be 2 weeks. My mom was in isolation for a month.
Oh, I understand.
And tested positive finally on the 30th day was a negative.
And that's why I'm asking this question.
Yeah, it affects everybody differently as far as the length. So having them get a negative test before returning to work is absolutely a great idea.
Well, and I understand that, but I didn't read the most recent CDC guidelines, Judge. As a matter of fact, I sent an email to Mike. The CDC guidelines, because of this very issue, I think it was July 24th, I remember it was a Friday, but came out with some new guidelines that said a retest wasn't necessarily the best thing because of this. As long as a person was symptom-free for 72 hours, fever-free with no fever-reducing agents, then they should be acceptable to come back to work. So. These things are changing almost daily, and we probably need to relook at the medical professional, Dr. Walks, and the judge with their policies. We might have to revisit that.
Wait a minute. I know what they're saying, but we're getting people coming back, and I know, I don't know about everybody else, that there's people that have come back and we've gotten people sick. We need to make sure we go concrete with some sound scientists. I talked to Dr. Callender here recently before he took sick. We need to make sure we do not want to get people sick. Period.
We'll meet with Dr. Walks again and maybe relook at what we're doing right now. The CDC changes our policy almost every other day. So.
Yeah. Right. That's why this experience has been one of the most difficult emergency management experiences.
Because it's unmistakable.
You know, with the hurricane or explosion, you can see what you're dealing with. You can have concrete information from engineers and other experts in the field that can assist you in responding. In this event, contraindicated what they already said, but it's been just a total mess.
Yeah. And that's my concern, Judge, but I think, Carrie, if you would ask each department, if I can verify how many of my employees are, I think it would be prudent to get the court the information on how many employees they have that retesting positive, just for our own knowledge. And if we're mandated to follow this, are we mandated to follow the CDC? Because I'm going to tell you personally, I'm not comfortable until somebody brings me a negative. Now, it's going to impact places like Ms. Gidry, the jail, the tax office. Mine is not so much. I'm just substituting with some temporary workers. But I think I'm being perfectly honest with you. I'm required. And how we handle that is something the court needs to decide.
Well, I think Mike kind of hit the nail on the head. It depends. And that's why we've tried to coordinate it now through our employee health nurse practitioner. We're urging people to go through there, but we can't mandate people to go through there. They have a right to go to their own health care provider. But it's the accuracy of the test. My understanding is that this nasal swab is the one that you need to go and have done. And there's all kinds of stuff out there. Some of them fly by night, some of them, you know, otherwise. But we're certainly urging people to go through. Leslie, I don't know that I can get you real accurate statistics, but we'll see what we
can. I just think if you send it out to each supervisor, department head of the department, elected official, I can give you the information. I hope Commissioner Arnold, we even Alpha could give you a judge and give you his. So I think it'll be easy for a department head to tell you, I have this employee that tested positive and continue to test positive. That's all I'm asking. So we can make some decisions.
Shouldn't we have that anyway?
How many people?
Just shouldn't we have that? Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just like everything else. It's changing by the hour sometimes.
I think the good news that we have to celebrate is that on a 14-day moving average on the disease based on the epidemiology, that we're going down. We're going to hope that 14-day moving average continues on the downside. The bad news is that a lot of deaths in the last week.
Yeah.
That's true.
Of course, my understanding is that all of those people that had long-term underlying comorbidities, and those people need to take particular care at this time. All right. Did we take a vote on those items under Human Resources, Ms. Gidry?
No.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Under District Attorney, item A is consider approving ratify out of state travel for Beaumont PD detectives Christopher Raymond, Maura Hamilton, Robbie Campbell, Ronnie Freeman, and another BPD detective yet to be determined to attend Burla training to be held in Annapolis, Maryland from August 24th to 28th, 2020. The training will be paid for by grant funds from the District Attorney's Office Special Crimes Unit. Motion on that.
Judge, I want to discuss this with
okay.
discussion.
Well, I need a second before we
second with the discussion.
Okay. Moved and seconded the discussion. Ms. Goff, would you like to come up to the representative of the district attorney's office here, Commissioner Alford, you want to explain this?
I want to make sure I get this right. I know you have five BPD police officers. Do we have anybody on this task force from the Sheriff Department and any other departments in our county?
Commissioner, for this particular training, it is just the Beaumont Police Department. This training is specific to some forensic software that is being purchased through the grant. Also, it's a forensic tool to look at infotainment centers and cars. So that is being purchased for Beaumont PD. So this training is specific to Beaumont PD because they will be the only ones with that equipment. But many other trainings that we have are currently paying for through the grant have been spread out for law enforcement agencies across Southeast Texas, not even just here in Jefferson County.
And this deals with child sex trafficking, fighting child sex trafficking?
That's correct, Judge, yes. So there are other resources that are being spread out to other departments. The more departments that can get involved, as far as I'm concerned, the better. There's been a lot of outreach on my end to departments and agencies getting them involved. And we've gotten a lot of great feedback from our local law enforcement across Jefferson County. So there is a training coming up. It's going to be held virtually that is more specific to the broader topic of child sex trafficking, child sexual abuse, things like that. That I believe we have 30 law enforcement from agencies across Southeast Texas attending. But for this particular training and this software, it wouldn't make much sense to send anybody from another department when they don't have the software. But part of the agreement when I purchase software through this grant for law enforcement agencies is that if the Port Arthur Police Department finds a child sex trafficking case and they need assistance with that, if they've got a vehicle with this infotainment unit that we could use it on, Beaumont PD will assist Port Arthur PD or Nederland PD, whoever it is, with that investigation as it pertains to a child sex trafficking case or any other case.
See, my concern is when you initially wrote the grant,
yes,
why was it written just for Beaumont Police Department to acquire the equipment just to that? Why was it written just for Beaumont Police Department?
The grant specifically was not written. This one was. A lot of that is Beaumont PD so far has invested the most on their end also. These grant funds are a little bit of a carrot that I'm dangling out there for law enforcement and these resources and training to get their buy-in. It's been a little bit sometimes of a struggle on my end to make everybody realize the problem that we do have with human trafficking, specifically sex trafficking here in Southeast Texas. And so as I offer training and equipment and things like that to them, that gives them an incentive to buy into this and to dedicate manpower and resources on their end also. Because while I'm purchasing this equipment up front, they do have operational costs after the fact that those departments will be taking over for the yearly subscription fees and stuff. So Beaumont PD has so far been the agency to dedicate the most back for.
Well, let me give you something that happened about 2 years ago. There was a lady that's pretty involved in sex trafficking, and especially for minors, that came in my office about 2 years ago. And one of the sheriff's departments, he was a warrant deputy then, now he's a captain, was sitting there. And we had a very good candid conversation about when they're serving warrants, especially in the homes and some of the hotel rooms. This was a sheriff's department employee. That they're really on the front line of seeing maybe kids in the room, young ladies, or they crowd to that department. And when I saw this saying Beaumont, officers, I said, well, something's wrong with this picture now. And I'm a little concerned about it. I mean, I didn't, you know, have the specifics of what the grant required. But if it's going to be a task force, Port Arthur has several hotels where sex trafficking supposedly was told to me by this lady that need to be monitored, because that's what some of the perpetrators are using, the hotels and even rent houses, rental properties. So I just think this grant should have, if it's going to be a task force, it's Needland, Port Nature's, Port Arthur, especially the sheriff's department, because she has the warrant officers that are going door to door, knocking on doors, and sometimes they see stuff. Just like Meals on Wheels catch a lot of abuse for elderly people. I mean, you include the people that are knocking on doors. Beaumont PD, and I understand about the equipment, but I just think it's something that should have been involved. That should have involved in, and I'm not telling y'all to write a grant because I don't know what the specific was, but I was saying, really, this should have been Beaumont City Council, in my opinion, that approved this. But if you applied for it, it should be involved in entire county, every agency in this county.
And the overall grant, Commissioner, to respond to that, does. The way the grant was written, it is for law enforcement across Southeast Texas, because it coincides with our trafficking alliance. We don't truly have a trafficking task force by the definition of what we think of for like the auto theft task force or something like that. We don't have that for human trafficking in Southeast Texas. I'd be the first person to say we need it. That is scope, a true task force of what this grant is. And there are a lot of other things beyond this particular software and this training that have been offered. And I agree with everything you said. Our warrant officers, our patrol officers, they are the front lines to catch situations where we may be able to recover kids that are being trafficked. And I am happy, whatever I myself can provide or can set up either through the grant or otherwise, training for any law enforcement agencies that are available. I'm happy. I've had talks with Chief Durso about this. I want Port Arthur PD more involved. We've got a lot of trafficking going on down there. We've got a lot in Mid-County because our plants down there fuel a lot of the buyers, which is one part of the puzzle for why it's so bad around here. So I'm happy to sit down with you and talk to you more about this, or meetings with the sheriff, Chief Durso, whoever.
Right, and the sheriff has an officer named Matt Gardner.
Yep,
I'm said, you know, and I just think it'd be prudent for those kind of people to be on this trip also. Whether now I don't know how you do it or what, but and Chief Durso told me he was going to call you and talk to you about it. So my whole deal is, if it's going to be a true task force, it needs to be involved all the agencies, law enforcement, door to door, stopping people on interdictions or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. Day-to-day arresting people, and that's just my concern that I had when I read this item. Thank you.
Mine's went here. We approved for them to go out and get grants, and I just think that we probably need to get more detail, because I believe that if we have a grant that we approve for on the county level, we should have the sheriff department involved with it at all times, some form or fashion. That's why I was concerned right off. Nothing against BPD, but in Jefferson County, the sheriff department hit a lot of other areas. And I want to make sure that we include our sheriff department in any aspect. And if the sheriff said no to it, I can understand. But I'm going to make sure I always set it straight, so she know and whoever the sheriff know that we're not out there to try to slight our sheriff department.
And Commissioner, I'm not attempting to do that at all. There has been a lot that the sheriff's office, that Detective Gardner, Chief Chadney, Lieutenant Trish Molfino, that we have over the last year developed what we call our care coordination protocols, that are protocols for law enforcement as well as our child sex trafficking advocates. GARPAS is our care coordination agency under a model that the governor's office has set up. It has been over a year in the making of monthly, sometimes twice monthly meetings, that there has not been a single meeting where a representative from the sheriff's office has not been there. Sometimes multiple representatives, same thing, Port Arthur PD, Nederland PD, DPS, every law enforcement agency has been invited. And many of them have chosen to participate in that. I don't disagree with any of the statements that y'all made, that the value that other law enforcement agencies bring to this, and it is going to take everybody stepping us up for us to truly address this problem. But the sheriff's office, they have provided a lot of help and resources. Detective Gardner has a skill set that is very valuable on these cases. He is an ICAP detective, Internet Crimes Against Children, that comes in very handy. And he's a resource I turn to all the time. I think Chef Stevens would like to say something.
So thank you guys for trying to make sure that we are participating. We have been working on that task force. Kim Hobb is very passionate about that, so she's making sure that we're all included from a law enforcement perspective. I didn't know particularly or specifically about this grant. Doesn't mean that we can't benefit from this grant, okay? I just want to make sure that you guys understand that we have not been excluded from the task force. It's not a task force like our old narcotics task force or auto theft task force, where we all have to be in a room on every specific issue contemplating stuff. I do have a representative. Matt Warner is that representative, and he has been in conversations with Kim. I do know that she has called and invited us in some other areas. So thank you guys. But I think we're good.
Right. And it's just the training. Anytime, I understand the inclusion on the task force part of it. But when it comes to training, the more agencies you, that person sitting in the room, then they don't have to just go to Fort Myers. they can reach out to the sheriff department.
I'm asking this question. You got one slot open. Why don't we take the person from the sheriff department and put it in that slot?
Right. One was unnamed.
I'm happy to do that. I can discuss that with Sheriff Stevens when the meeting's over.
Okay. Thank you.
So just remember that and don't pour money and resources into the jail, okay?
Do what then?
I've been thinking about that.
Travel and out-of-state travel and all that, we have county policies. And so just remember this conversation. So when I come saying, hey, we need some resources and money.
I won't say.
Well, this grant had about $5 million in it, I heard, so we have enough money. Just joking. I'm just joking.
Okay. Anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. All right. Now time for.
Oh, need a motion.
Yes. Yeah.
We have a motion.
Yeah. I second.
Commissioner Allred and Commissioner Williams.
Oh, yeah, we have. We've been.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Now it's time for public comment before we go into a workshop. And so anybody present is free to come to the podium and introduce himself and make public comment. If you're on the phone, you'll need to press *6 to make comment over the Zoom meeting or telephonic.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Abby Allen. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm stepping forward because in 2018, I sent in a request for a ballot, and I got back from the county a defective ballot because it said it was not received before February 23rd, 18. However, I faxed it in, which by law, that was correct. And my fax confirmation showed February 22nd. So I'm standing before you, because you're talking about training, to make sure that in this election, training is above board. And I understand it might have been a new person, but if you have a new person, have somebody to back them up. Because my parents paid to vote. And bottom line, it's free for me to vote. And I don't want to be denied in that way. Now, I do give kudos to Ms. Carolyn Guidry, because she made sure she sent a ballot right away. But that was extra money. And bottom line, we talk about money all the time. So bottom line, you know, I just would like it to be right. The other issue I have with voting is, I did a provisional vote back in 14. My fault. I had my license in a bank where I'd gone and got some money from the bank, showed up to do early voting, and did not have the proper ID. So at first I was told that I could not vote, and I just couldn't go away. So I was allowed to do provisional voting. However, when I returned or called to say that I was returning with the proper ID, I was told that the ballot committee or the whatever, I'm not sure, the committee had already met, and I was denied that vote. So that's why I'm coming before you, because there are in-those that can happen that maybe weren't done on purpose, but it happened, and we need to get it right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Okay, is there anybody online that wishes to address the court and make public comment?
Judge, before we close out, I want to make a public comment.
Commissioner, go ahead.
It's 2020 census time. I can't impress on the public how important this is. We need everyone to be counted, period. There was a date that was going to be on October. It's been moved to September. Meals on Wheels for our seniors. housing, Head Start program, community development block grant, the buyout of homes, our disaster funding, law enforcement grants. These are all things that come because of the count that we have in our area. I learned Saturday that Jefferson County is now at 56%, 57%. In the prior times, we were around 60% at this time. I know it's been a pandemic, but we need to be counted. Please, I can't impress on our citizens enough. We need to be counted, so please get in touch with census and get counted. Everyone matters.
All of that can be done online also. Thank you, Commissioner. Anything further? If not, we'll adjourn this meeting of the Jefferson County Commission Court and immediately open up a workshop to discuss copy of proposal for function 4. We'll begin this workshop at 11:21 a.m. Y'all like to come up?